Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. These familiar and comforting words have been the cry of Easter morning for nearly 2,000 years. They will continue to be our cry until the Lord comes again and takes us into the new Jerusalem to live with Him forever. It is impossible to overstate how important our Lord's resurrection is. Someone has said, "Dead men tell no tales." But it's not true. Elijah raised the widow's son at Zarephath. Jesus raised the widow's son at Nain. And of course, only a few miles down the road from Jesus' own tomb, Jesus had raised Lazarus. By the time Jesus raises himself from the dead on Easter morning, no one can question his mastery over death. But no one has risen from the dead as Jesus did. He was truly the first fruits of those who had fallen asleep. Those widows' sons are dead and buried again. So is Lazarus. But Jesus is not. Jesus' grave is still empty. His heart still beats. His veins still pulse with living blood. His lungs still breathe real air. He is alive, never to die again. And that changes everything. You've probably all heard it said that there is nothing in this life that is certain except death and taxes. Since death entered God's creation because of man's sin, people have been right to be afraid. Death comes for everyone because everyone has sinned. Many have tried to make something less of death than what it really is. They call it normal and even natural. But in this, men have lied to themselves and deluded themselves to the point at which some can even welcome death as a friend. But this is not so, dear Christians. Not so at all. Death is the enemy. Death is the most final and devastating statement of God's holy wrath against sin. Death is the wage that is owed to you for your sin. And unless your Lord returns soon, none of us will escape that payday that is coming. But thanks be to God, because of Christ's resurrection, we can say that even though death is the answer to our sin, it is not the final answer. Even though the grave's hunger is never filled, it will not, it cannot hold us forever. The Lord delights in mercy, not in wrath. He loves life, not death. And so death must have an end. St. Paul tells us the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Before Jesus, death's victory seemed complete. Before Jesus, no one had ever left the grave who wasn't headed right back. But death seized the holy, righteous man Jesus, and everything changed. Death could not keep life incarnate within its walls. Death had no mastery over him, over the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. And so, for 3 short days, Jesus lays in the tomb and rests. But on that morning, he bursts forth from the grave because death could not hold him or keep him. On the cross, death received its mortal blow. The Lord says through the prophet Hosea, "O death, I am your plagues. O grave, I am your destruction." What fitting words, for that is exactly what Jesus is. The Lord has risen from the grave, and now death is different than it was before. Death was once Lord, but now it is a slave. Death was once strong, but now it is weak. Death used to look like the most powerful thing in all the universe, something that no one could escape. But now death's power has been broken forever. Jesus Christ is victor over death and grave. In our Lord's resurrection, you see exactly what the Lord has in store for each of us. For death cannot conquer those who belong to Jesus Christ. You too will stand as victor, even over death. When the Lord returns, every grave will be emptied. All the dead will be raised from their tombs, and believers in Christ will live and reign with Him forever. On this Easter day, as on every Sunday, we sing for joy that Christ has answered the problem of our sin once and for all. Sin brings death, but Christ brings life. He has forgiven all of our sin in the cross. He has destroyed the power of the grave by leaving His tomb empty forever. Easter has changed everything. That's exactly what the women and the disciples learned on that first Easter Sunday. We can't experience that day like they did. We have the luxury of knowing the whole story right from the beginning. We are able to reflect on what happened apart from all of the emotions of that week. They didn't have such a luxury. They were still in the midst of the most painful week of their life. Those faithful women who had supported and followed Jesus during His earthly ministry rose up early on that first day of the week to go to the tomb to finish what they could not do for Him on Friday before sunset. They simply weren't expecting what they found there. They were wondering how they would roll away the great stone that had been placed as a seal. But they didn't have to wonder for long, because the stone was gone. The miracle of the resurrection had already taken place. The tomb was open and Jesus was not there. So many questions then, and so much emotion, fear, confusion, hope. Someone has stolen Him. Anger, sadness. Will this ever end? Can't we give Him a decent burial? Then the young man in the white robe appears, an angel of the Lord, and he preaches to them the first Easter sermon in all of history. He says, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him? But go, tell His disciples and Peter that He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see Him, just as He told you. I know you saw Him die, but He is not dead." This was simply too much for the women. Their Lord had died, and they had seen it with their own eyes, and now the tomb was empty, and they had only these words from a stranger telling them that He had risen. Mark says that after the angel spoke to them, they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The doubt that these women struggled with can also assail us. With as much suffering and death as there is in this world, with as many tombs as there are visible to our eyes, it's tempting to do what people have done for thousands of years, to just keep telling ourselves that death really isn't such a bad thing, to blame God for our suffering, as if He's the author of sin and evil, and not mankind. To doubt that God is really in control of anything at all. The Lord's resurrection can seem very remote to us, far away and a long time ago. We can't just walk over to the place and see where He once lay. None of us have ever seen Jesus in a way that our eyes can recognize. None of us have ever put our hands into His wounds or spoken with Him face to face. So it is difficult, indeed impossible, to believe this word about the resurrection unless the Holy Spirit is at work in you. It may even seem like it's a foolish word, it may bring fear and trembling, just like it did for the women and then the disciples. All we have is the testimony of these eyewitnesses. We have the word that Mary Magdalene spoke to Peter. We have the accounts of Matthew and John. We have what Mark heard as he listened to Peter preach. But everything we know is still second or third hand information. We haven't seen it for ourselves. We only have words. But words are no small thing, dear Christian friends. Words are the means by which the Father created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. Words are the means by which God has been creating faith in His people from the very beginning of time. Since the words you have heard from St. Mark are Jesus' words, given for your benefit, you can take comfort in hearing this gospel lesson. You believe the resurrection for the same reason that the women believed the resurrection. That word spoken to those women by the angel was given by God. It was carried by the women to Peter, and then it was carried by Peter to Mark and to the other evangelists, and now it has come to you. You have the Lord's clear and certain word carried to you by the prophets and the apostles. You have the testimony of eyewitnesses to the event. On Easter Sunday morning, they saw an empty tomb that should have held the Lord's body. Then later, they saw the Lord Himself. The tomb is still empty. Your Lord lives. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He bore all of the punishments that you deserve. He suffered for you. He died for you. He rested for 3 days in the tomb for you. And He rose from the dead for you. Jesus is risen, never to die again. His grave is empty. And because of that, all graves will one day be empty. You and all those that you love who have died in the faith will live with Christ forever. With Job, we can confess, I know that my Redeemer lives. Let all doubt be destroyed from your mind. Hear the word of the resurrection from these eyewitnesses and believe. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Your sins are forgiven, and you are free forever. Rejoice, be glad, and sing. The peace of the Lord, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.